This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48, Wednesday, 9th of March, and of course you're listening to The Morning Run. Now we shift our attention to the Malaysia's rental market because it's long been viewed as lacking proper regulation to safeguard both tenants and landlords. The absence of specific rules on rental tenancy means that contract law becomes the default means of settling disputes, which can be tedious and cost ineffective.
Now, to improve the legal environment for the rental market, the government is proposing to table a Residential Tenancy Act and issued a consultation paper for public feedback earlier this year. Some of the proposals that have gained attention include 1. Putting a limit on the number and quantum of rent increases, 2. Establishing a special tribunal to resolve rental disputes, and finally, setting up a Comptroller of Residential Tenancy to oversee implementation of the Act. Now, there have been calls by some parties, including the Home Buyers Association and the Real Estate and Housing Developers Association Malaysia, or REDA, to relook at some of the proposals that could disproportionately impact landlords, such as rent controls.
So what would be the ideal Residential Tenancy Act or RTA look like for the Malaysian context? For a better understanding of what's being proposed, we speak to Siva Shankar, CEO of the estate agency property consultancy Rahim & Co. Good morning, Siva. Now, what are the gaps in existing laws related to landlord tenancy arrangements that could be addressed in this new Residential Tenancy Act?
Hi, good morning. I think if you a tenancy is a contract between a landlord and a tenant. So essentially, it's a contract between two parties, and the two parties can enter into any contract that they deem fit and for themselves. I don't think the state should be playing a role in mandating how that contract is drawn up between two people. So first of all, I think that's the biggest gap, the fact that the state is now getting involved and telling two people how they should draw up their contract. So that, I think, is already a single biggest flaw in the system.
Yeah, but Siva, I just want to address this, right? Because the argument has been that there is an imbalance of power and negotiation between the potential landlord and the tenant. So so there is some requirement for the state to intervene. Do you see that perspective, though?
I do see that perspective. But I think it's wrong to assume that that imbalance is always on the side of the tenant. I think there's a huge imbalance on the side of the landlord as well. We mustn't only be looking at tenants. If you want to draw up a Residential Tenancy Act, then you must draw up something that safeguards both parties, because if you're worried that at the end of the tenancy, the tenant is unable to get his rental deposits back, yes, that's a worry, and that could happen in instances. But there's also a big worry that the tenant takes possession of the property and then refuses to pay rent. The process of getting him out of there is huge and large, and it's not easy. By the time you get the tenant out, it could be months and months into the future, and you may not have any means at all of collecting those backdated rents. So you must look at it from both angles.
So you're saying that the current proposals are too tenant-friendly. What would you want to see then to make sure that it's balanced? Because you're saying that there are some concerns that it's imbalanced towards the landlord, isn't it?
Yes, my opinion is simply this. First of all, I think the state shouldn't be getting involved in a contract between two parties. If the Residential Tenancy Act is going to be implemented, and I think it is a good idea in some instances, that implementation should be to facilitate that contract between two parties. So perhaps if you put a mechanism in there that says, look, if you two guys have disputes, this is a dispute resolution center that you can come to and you will get speedy justice. That's fine. If you're not able to get your deposits back, if there is a process on how you can get that back really fast and efficiently, that's fine. If you're not getting your monthly rents the way you should, then there's a system or a process to get that done fast. And that's fantastic. Of course, you can go to the courts. It is a law of contracts anyway. Of course, you can go to the courts. But if that can be if that system, that process can be simplified, then, hey, great. This is something that we all might need. But if that process is now going to say to you, you two guys, you must do it this way, this way, this way. There's talk that, rent, you cannot increase the rent more than X percentage at the end of your tenancy. I mean, that's not on. That's not commercial. Mm. The terms should be commercial. The market should take care of itself.
Okay, but some will argue that the market is in itself inefficient and not always balanced in terms of the power between landlord and tenants. And yes, we can debate, you know, which one is more fair, which is unfair. But what you're suggesting sounds like more tweaks to the system. Why not address it holistically in a Tenancy Act?
I think if you want to address things in a Tenancy Act, it should be policy matters. Put in a clause in there that says no discrimination. That's long overdue. There's so much racial discrimination in tenancies in Malaysia, and we all know that. Everybody knows that. Mm. Put in those clauses in there. Put in clauses that make things fairer. Put in policies that make arbitration easier. Put in policies that make dispute resolution easier. Don't put in policies that say you cannot increase your rent more than X percent. I mean, if I'm the landlord and I increase my rent by 50%, then the tenant has every right to leave and go find someone else with a more friendly rent. And that's market forces.
So you're basically saying things like the limit to the number of quantum of rent increases is too market distortionary. But there are some other proposals there, like establishing a special tribunal to resolve rental disputes. That should be warmly welcomed by your side, no?
And I think those things are warmly welcomed by practitioners and industry players. I think what the industry, what stakeholders are protesting now is the micromanagement of the tenancy.
Okay, so what is the extent of micromanagement, though? I mean, on the flip side, how do we then hold unscrupulous landlords to account, the ones that perhaps don't do any upkeep on their property but expect rent every month?
The tenant has a choice of leaving. If the landlord does, you cannot ask the landlord.
But doesn't he normally have to
property.
Complete his term of his lease, though? He can't just pack up and go, right?
Well, if I live in a house which is leaking, where the roof is leaking, and the landlord refuses to fix that roof, I have just cause to terminate and walk away. Those are the things that should be put in place.
Yeah, but what if the landlord sues me then in court? That's the thing, you see. Then there's cost involved.
Then we go to court. Then we go to court and fight this thing through. But you can't put in an... Well, you see, if you want to control the Tenancy Act because of this, then don't you think you have to control any kind of contract that two people get into, not just for tenancies? If I get into a contract to buy palm oil from somebody, shouldn't the state now tell me how I can buy my palm oil, what I can do for my disputes? It's ridiculous. Where does it all end?
So Siva, when I hear you, you seem to have a few frustrations and concerns over this proposed act. I wonder how the engagement was, with the government with respect to drafting this law. Was there adequate stakeholder consultation then?
Well, I don't know. I cannot answer that question. Nobody consulted me, so I really don't know. They may have consulted some of the bodies, NGOs, but the feeling I get from the ground is that perhaps that consultation was not enough, or perhaps this thing was rushed through. Or is now sort of being, in inverted commas, shoved down our throats.
Siva, can I just have a banter with you on this? Because when we talk about this whole law, I get your whole point about, markets and that there's actually a contract between two. But there are certain segments, the lower income that are struggling with, right? So perhaps the intention was to kind of put some protections for those who really, cannot go through the court process and such. So how do you suggest we kind of resolve that?
Yeah, I am completely in agreement that the Tenancy Act should have a very strong dispute resolution content in there. That's important. And yes, that's going to protect the lower income. Don't forget, we are now assuming that the landlord is richer, is always richer than the tenant. That may not necessarily be always true. The tenant could be richer than the landlord. You will never know because there's millions of individual possibilities. So we must not assume, first of all, that the landlord is always richer than the tenant, and therefore the tenant needs more protection than the landlord. I think the landlord needs a lot of protection too. So if you have dispute resolution clauses in there, if you have racial discrimination clauses in there, if you have broad clauses that guide the spirit of how that agreement is supposed to be drafted, then I think we're okay.
All right, thank you for your time. There was Siva Shankar, CEO of estate agency Rahim & Co, giving us his views on the Rental Tenancy Act, which might or might not happen. I think it's still under discussion. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.